it's Dick Toledo, and I want to thank you guys for downloading, streaming, and sharing all of our HMS podcasting content. Today's podcasting content is being brought to you by our friends at Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Check out their new and used inventory online at chapmandodge.com. And while you do that, have you realized that you're sick of your house yet? Tired of being cooped up every weekend? How about getting away, far away, to where people aren't, like up in the high country? Well, if I've learned one thing in working with a Jeep lover for 20 years, it's that when you want to leave people behind, there's only one thing that'll get you there. The off-road machine, a Jeep. And right now at Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can save big on the rolling definition of go big or go home during Jeep Adventure Days. Happening now. Visit them at the Scottsdale Auto Show off the 101 in Indian School, or simply do it all online at chapmandodge.com. Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get more and enjoy today's HMS podcasting content.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You've been deceived by an agent of Satan himself. He's evil.
Sitting right here. Come on.
No, no, he's not. He's not evil. He's just a bit rude.
98 KUPD.
Great guest on the line right now. We'll just get right to it. He's going to be here this weekend at the Improv. Is kind enough to have me up on stage with him Friday as he brings the podcast to town. Adam Carolla is on the line right now. Mr. Carolla, are you there? Is he? What the hell's going on with the phones? Adam?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. What's going on, man?
There I am. Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for having me on. We'll be there Friday at the Improv goofing around. Now, this is the thing, Adam. I've been telling people that I'm kind of the... I guess I'm the booby prize.
Sloppy seconds?
Yeah, because Caliendo is being a huge baby about going outside with the COVID. And I do the podcast with Frank, and we were on with you before when we were going to do this back in July. And now Frank's wife won't let him leave the house, which has left just you with me.
It's ironic because nobody under normal conditions would want Frank to leave the house more than his wife.
That's
right?
The truth. That is so true.
And yet here she is saying, don't leave the house. A single person she'd love to leave the house the most.
Yeah. Demanding that he stays home instead of going out on a Friday to catch the COVID, and mainly for her own concerns that she doesn't want it to come back. Are you concerned about it at all? You've been doing these. Like, how many have you done during the COVID thing? You've done the touring.
I was in Nashville yesterday.
Oh, wow.
During a corporate gig. I've been to Nashville 2 times. I've been to Texas 3 times, and I'm heading to Arizona. I haven't washed my hands. I don't use Purell. I only use a mask when dumbos need me to use a mask, like going onto the airplane or whatever it is. And, I have zero fear and zero effect. It's not an issue. I don't think about it, and I've not really altered anything at all.
Is that right?
So, kids, if you're listening,
yeah,
I don't care about it.
I'm not interested. Are you immune from a disinterest? I think that's an interesting approach.
I don't have low self-esteem. I just have no self-esteem. I don't think about myself in terms of danger.
Yeah.
At all. About 4 months ago, I was heading into Texas to do some shows. And like I said, I've been all over the place. I was in Houston months ago doing shows, Nashville, whatever. And it dawned on me because I was talking to my sister on the phone, and this is in April or something. And she said, like, what are you doing this weekend? And I said, oh, I'm leaving to Texas tomorrow. And she said, you're going to Texas? And I said, yeah, I'm doing shows. And she said, aren't you scared to fly? And I said, I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Really?
And I realized I haven't thought about it. Well, first off, I'm not interested in the news.
Yeah.
That's just one big scare factory. Give me a break.
That's a fact.
All that does is scare the crap out of everyone. And look, here's what I've said about this pandemic. If you were making a pandemic movie, this would be the worst goddamn movie ever. Because you'd say to me, like, oh, my God, Adam, who's been claimed by the pandemic? And I'd be like, Bryan Cranston got it, but he didn't have any symptoms. Like, that's all I'd have.
Yeah, nobody's getting sick enough. That's your beef with the pandemic, as far as entertainment.
My beef is, here's how it works. I'm not saying it's not real. It's real. Everything is real.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's plenty of danger to be had out there. Heart disease is real, and automotive accidents are real, and COVID-19 is real. It's all real. I caught on early that CNN was trying to jack this up, and my mindset, well, so here's the thing. So you turn on CNN, right?
Yeah.
And they have a story about a person who played by all the rules. Like, this guy kept the social distancing, put the mask on, washed his hands 5 times a day for 20 minutes, got it and died. So that's story A. Right. Story B is the guy who was the Trump supporter. That guy he ignored all the rules, went out, got it and died. So my math is I'm somewhere in between those two people.
Yeah.
Yeah. At your middle of the road.
Which is it, CNN?
Yeah. It can't be everything.
You followed all the rules and you died, and you followed none of the rules and you died. Okay. Well, we're all somewhere between following all the rules and following none of the rules.
Yeah. I don't know what the rules are. My frustration comes from, like, I'm trying to just not kill people at work. I don't care if I get it. Like, I'm with you on the low self-esteem thing. I got none. Don't care if I catch it. Don't care if I die from it, really. But the
and I caught it.
And Brady had it.
And I was, you know, a lot of times I was treated like, oh, you dummy. You went out there and tried to
and
get it.
And you got it. Well, we did that just for the show, basically. Yeah. But the having people here working with folks who live with their elderly parents, I'm like, well, God, I can't get it and kill his mom. That's my only concern, is that I would be the guy who brought it in. Otherwise, I'm with you. I just don't know what else I can do to avoid this outside of isolate myself more, which I was doing before anyway.
Well, let's be honest for a minute. If you're an adult male and you're living with your elderly mom, wouldn't it be a good thing if she just sort of quietly passed away?
Yeah, you know.
Mortgage free. She made her last payment in 1979.
Finally.
It's all yours now.
That is finally, the dreams do come true. I guess I could help out in that regard, but I'm not sure. I think I'd have to ask first if you want me to, like, be a hitman with COVID. I'd be willing to do it.
Well, Ben, how many people were paired up that all of a sudden it came down in the lockdown?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you weren't living with your mom, but since you were over there at the time, now you got to stay there.
Yeah, you're stuck with her. Adam, what is like everything other than the COVID? And it's just so frustratingly annoying, because I'm with you. Like, nobody knows what really to do. It won't go away. Like, Halloween's coming up, and we were talking this morning, like, do we even have it? Do you have to have, like, a big bank tube to shoot the candy into the kid's pillowcase from 40 feet away? How's this going to work? And I think it's going to get political, too. Like, people are going to be, if you don't give out candy, then you're a pussy.
Shaming all
around.
Yeah,
they're going to shame you the whole way. It's like Halloween's affected.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we can give out, like, wet wipes or something and meet somewhere in between, like, Clorox-infused wet wipes. You know, it's interesting because you guys probably know Bean of Kevin and Bean out here in K-Rock. And he's an old friend of mine. And he's one of those rules guy. And I was talking to him, and he got it. He's one of the guys I know who got it. And he was like, hey, man, I did everything. We wiped everything down. We put the mask on. We put the gloves on. We had the stuff delivered. We wiped the boxes down, and we got it. And I'm like, okay, I don't do one-tenth of that. I can barely floss twice a month. Like, no way I'm sticking to your protocol. And so, again, you did everything. You're the only one I know in my circle that really got it. So what am I to do? And I'm just living. Also, I don't want to look back on 2020 and see a portrait of myself in a fetal position underneath my bed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to go. I traveled. I did shows. I lived my life. I wasn't fear-based. Fear-based is debilitating people. People don't understand. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not just play it safe all the time, be fear-based, and be safe. It ruins your life. Everyone I know who's fear-based doesn't live a whole life. I did a vintage car race in the middle of this whole thing at Laguna Seca.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What is that like? Because to me, it's the thing that is the only fearful thing is the people that are, like, thumbing their nose at it, and they are the ones that are like, it's fake and blah, blah, and they want to touch and hang out and do all that weird crap.
Huge gathering.
Yeah, like the crowd people. The ones that want to, like, push it. Like, I don't mind, like, staying apart from people. I've been doing that my whole life. I'm good at that. But, like, the getting into crowds.
I would,
like,
I was just in Nashville for a Z car show, a Datsun Z car show. Let me tell you the group that doesn't care about this. Car guys.
Yeah.
Car guys are the least affected. The most affected are comedians. The least affected are car guys, right? It turns out comedians are pussies, which is weird, right? Because they're up there, you know, tearing everyone a new a-hole and, like, walking the line and getting close to the edge. They are the most scared group. Hollywood is the most scared group.
Yeah.
They're the softest, scaredest people on the planet. The guys who work with their hands, the guys. So I have like three groups. I have the blue collar guys because I'm always building and I'm always doing a car restoration and I'm always working on fabricating a race car, like parts for race cars. That group completely unaffected, utterly. Yeah. Unaffected. It doesn't come up. You don't discuss it. They don't care. There's no anything. You would not know pre-COVID and post-COVID if you film these guys, because they work with tools and they work with, like, they work with bandsaws and they work with acetylene cutting torches and stuff. They see, here's the thing. Everyone thinks I'm nuts. By the way, so Hollywood is the most affected. They're the most scared.
Sure.
And here's my theory. My theory is this. When you work with tools, when you have to put metal together and cut metal and do things like that, you have to have a relationship with danger and you must be calibrated. And it's not you can't use any of the tools. They're dangerous. You have to pick the right tool and you have to assess the danger and you have to use it correctly. Because like a bandsaw can really jack you up, but you need it to cut this metal, right? And that's all those guys do all day. When I did this for a living, and I still, it's like you pick up one of those big right angle D-handle whole hog, like half inch drill motors, and you put a big auger bit on it, you're going to drill for a step. Those things can snap on you and break your forearm. Like you have to really respect the tool and use the tool correctly. These guys jack up cars all day and get under the car. The car has to be secure, otherwise it's going to crush them. But it's not; they don't have an option of not getting under the car. So they're calibrated, and they've calibrated themselves, and this thing doesn't feel like much to them. Hollywood people have no calibration with fear and no calibration with danger, and they're all in. They just went all
coddled.
Yeah, they're scared to death. They're living in fear. Yeah, you're right. Because if a guy who's fear every day, it doesn't bother him.
But also, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but all the idiots who went all in, just all in. I mean, they've been, you know, they're spraying down in and out bags with alcohol when they're coming in the house, right? All those idiots who were, remember the people who were wearing rubber gloves 3 months ago? All right, those people, they went all in, and they don't want to kind of admit they were wrong now.
Right.
So they're kind of fighting for it.
Yeah, they're doubling down. They want it to be bigger.
Well, they made a – so in February or March, they bet on COVID-19. I threw in a couple of chips. Like, all right, you know, let me see what the flop is. You know, I threw in a couple of chips. They went all in, and now – I've lost a couple of chips.
Right.
They got their whole stake out there, and they're trying to defend it. They're trying to keep the hand going longer, and it's starting to wind down.
Yeah, yeah, it is kind of a weird mentality that everybody took. This, you know, either I'm going to do it or I'm not. I kind of went down the middle of the road. I'm just trying to be considerate. That's my only job right now. Just be considerate. If somebody's nuts,
yeah,
I don't want hassle from anybody. I'm basically trying not to get hassled.
I know, I fly, and they tell you, you know, put a mask on, and I put a mask on, and then I get to my seat, and I pull the thing down to my groin, you know?
It's a loose mask.
Speaking of, Adam, as long as you did Loveline, do you have people that come to your shows and say, 20 years ago, you helped me with my abortion, or I have warts, but you talked me through? I mean, what is the follow-up like from fans that I've been listening to you for 20 years kind of thing?
Boy, that's a... For me, I pray nobody comes up to me and says, thank you for helping me with my abortion.
Well, I would have never been here because of you 20 years ago.
That's what I live for, is somebody that someday gets that out of my career. I think that would be great. I don't know that I've ever helped anybody with that other than financially.
Bro, I want to tell you something.
Have you met my other daughter?
You met the survivor. Yeah, I don't know if so nobody comes up to you and says, I called you and I had like warts down to my knees and you were talking to me about how great that would be, cleared up, and I want to show you.
Or do you remember when I called from 12 years ago?
Yeah, nobody knows.
It you know, it's interesting as time marches forward and Loveline is 20 years ago. I mean, for me, I stopped doing it in 05, 06, somewhere in there. But, you know, coming on 15 years ago. And, you know, the Man Show is, you know, 18 years ago, you know. And it's like, the Man Show fans, the Loveline fans, they become like World War One veterans, you know. And now it's like we're into the 80s, you know, and they're starting to drop, you know. And then eventually we'll have the last living Loveline fan and the last living Man Show fan.
That would be great. And they could get together and share whatever STD that the one guy's got finally for the last time.
Yeah,
because it's a fascinating thing to think about the people you've spoken to over the years coming back into your life later is like, you know, I don't know if that would feel good. Sometimes people go, I've been listening to you for 20 years, John, and you got me through a tough time. But you got people through like horrible stuff, like just disgusting things, like oozing sores and stuff.
I was, you know, I just got up and went to work every day. Like I just treat it like a job. I never really thought about the lasting implications, the legacies of the sores. I just kind of went, I'm getting paid.
The
I have
amount
to be
of
here
crab combs you saw.
Oh my God. Yeah. You probably got free crab combs in the mail. Yeah. Those folks loved you.
Well, the good news is the crab comb is not exactly a durable good. Like everyone can afford a crab comb.
You would hope so. Well, Biden will give them out for
you
free eventually. Yeah.
I've never heard anyone went $89. I don't have that kind of money for a crab comb.
Pass on the comb.
Yeah, you find a way when you need a crab comb to make that happen. So you're going to be here at the Improv Friday night. I'll be up there with you. And then you're going to do how many shows are you doing this weekend? You know,
I'm going to do live stand up, and so each night is a live podcast for the early show. Rob Schneider will be in on Saturday.
Cool.
And then the late show is stand-up. So two stand-up shows, two live podcasts.
Oh, okay. That'll be good. And that's at the Improv Friday and Saturday night. And I also heard you talking, when you mentioned the Man Show, I heard you talking a while ago about Kimmel and what he's gone through with what, you know, the retroactive cancel this, cancel that thing. And it was, what, 23 years ago maybe when the Karl Malone thing happened? And I remember I thought that was huge when you said, look, he's one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. You guys aren't politically on the same page. But it really is kind of a nice thing to see that two friends, different as can be, you stood up for him and said, this is ridiculous. I mean, have you talked to Jimmy about that whole thing? Because he's hosting the Emmys or whatever's going on this weekend. And that's
as Karl Malone.
Yeah, is that, yeah, he's going to do it as Karl Malone. We heard you guys wrote a whole bit for that. He's going to win an award for it. Finally, lifetime achievement in blackface. Is that that's the most ridiculous thing of all time, to go back into somebody's history and destroy them for something no one was mad about.
I completely agree. Jimmy's a good friend, and I didn't really feel like I was standing up or defending him. I was like standing up for comedians, and I was standing up for sanity. And I did it for Jimmy. I said the same thing about Jimmy Fallon and his Chris Rock impersonation. I felt it necessary just to stand up when you're calling these impersonations blackface. Yeah. It's like blackface is its own thing. Chris Rock is a personality. Jimmy Fallon is doing an impersonation of Chris Rock, and Jimmy Kimmel is an impersonation of Karl Malone. And this is for comedic effect. It is the exact opposite, really, of blackface, which is essentially making fun generically of black people, where this is more of an homage to the person you're doing the bit about. So it has nothing to do. As a matter of fact, it in a weird way, it's kind of an evolution of blackface, if you think about it. Like, instead of just white comedians or performers just making fun of black people. You're now actually impersonating huge black celebrities. Yeah. That's in a way, that's an advancement of the races. I don't get why we just turn, everything's just racist. You know, everything is problematic. And then you have all the dumb, weak, coward lemmings who go, well, yeah, I know it's not the same as blackface, but he shouldn't have done it anyway. Well, he shouldn't have done it anyway. What does that mean?
Right. Right. Especially in hindsight.
By the way, what a weak, scared person you are. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have done it anyway. Well, what's that mean?
Yeah. Well, that's the woke world that everybody's – like, I get frustrated with the idea that it's such a mono thought that if you go against it, you're automatically the opposite. And you can't even have, like, a milquetoast opinion about, like, I don't really care. Automatically means, oh, you're racist. And it just drives me nuts because everybody laughed at what you guys were doing on The Man Show. Everybody loved it. Now, you probably got letters from some people, but you're going to get that no matter what when you're trying to be a little bit off.
No. And, well, let me tell you something. We got more crap for, you know, a bit called, you know, wife school or something like that more than we did for any Karl Malone stuff. Nobody said a word.
Not at all.
Everyone thought it was funny. Nobody cared. Now everyone built the time machine and got in touch with their feelings. And my feeling is shut up.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Well, by the way, what are we listening to you for?
Right.
For comedy? You think that's how comedy works?
Yeah.
You think it's a popularity contest?
Well, I always say that about this show. You know, we're kind of a safe haven for, you know, a mild form of bigotry and evil. And I'm fine with that because it's a place I think we speak for a lot of people. But even at our best, we're like a 15 share, which means 85% of the city doesn't like us. If they ever spoke up, it would seem like we're the worst things in the world. So shut up. You're right. Absolutely. You don't like it. There's options.
Yeah.
And have you found yourself on the podcast? Because I know when Caliendo and I did it with you, Frank was nervous doing Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal because that was in the height of all the crazy weird stuff as two white guys sitting there doing those impressions on your show with other white people. And he's like, I'm going to get letters. And he does, by the way. His audience does that.
Yeah, well, I think when you advertise that you are open to alteration or apology, then you just get more letters demanding apologies. So the reason you don't negotiate with terrorists who take hostages is they take more hostages.
Right.
Right? You send the message that we negotiate. You'll get paid if you take hostages. You just get more hostages. Now, the thing about me that's interesting is I just advertise that I don't apologize. And I called everyone a puss a few weeks ago on this COVID-19 business. I got a million tweets calling me the worst person in the world. Nobody asked me to apologize, which is interesting, right?
Because you don't.
They said everything, but they never said apologize. Because I have put it out there that I don't apologize. So, and by the way, I don't. It's not like I apologize like the Fonz couldn't say he was wrong.
Right.
I apologize if I yell at one of my kids because I had a few beers watching and my team lost, and they come yelling at me, and I just yell something at them. The next morning, I'll apologize to them.
Right.
Like, it's not that I don't apologize. It's that I don't apologize to the mob. Who doesn't, by the way, care what I say anyway? They're just some sort of mouthpiece
for the
mob.
Yeah. Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried was in here about a year after the Affleck thing. And I said, what's the worst part of that whole thing? And he goes, when I apologized, they tore me apart after. And it was the apology that lost him the job. It was the apology that was the admission of guilt. It wasn't – nobody took it as I'm sorry. It was his admission of guilt. So since that day, I've thought the same way. I'm like, I'm only going to apologize when I feel like I've done something wrong, not because you told me I did.
Well, by the way, should you apologize to a large mob of people? You know what I mean? Again, apologize to family members and neighbors when, you know, you had the stereo up too loud on a Saturday.
Right.
And they couldn't get to sleep. But it's not something that's meant for a group, if you think about it. It's not something that's meant for a mob, for sure.
Adam, you're always fascinating. I could talk to you for hours on end, and we'll do that on Friday. Friday night at the Improv, I'm going to be up there with Adam Carolla's podcast and some stand-up going on. Rob Schneider Saturday, and more of that. Tickets on sale right now. You can go to tempeimprov.com. Do you have any words of wisdom? Close us out, Adam. What do you got?
Well, I said at the beginning of this whole pandemic mess, as a friend of mine in the joint once said, you can do the time or the time can do you. And I've just always felt that way. Like, whatever that means to you, don't look back at this and look at 6 months or 9 months or a year's life wasted. Start doing something. And I would recommend something physical. You can't sit around and watch CNN all day. You'll go out of your brain.
Yeah.
You need to go build a treehouse in your backyard, start a project, like literally go to the garage and do something. It'll occupy your mind. It'll pull you out of where you're at, and you'll find it the best therapy ever.
Yeah. Buy a heavy bag. That's my advice. It's been all I do.
And buy a heavy bag.
Yeah, that's the way to
that's
go.
Right.
Jump rope and hit a heavy bag. Adam, always great. Thank you, man. Thanks for getting up and doing this. We appreciate it.
We'll see you Friday.
All right. See you, Matt. See you later. Adam Carolla, everybody's right there and ready to go Friday night up there with him doing the podcast. He's always got an angle. Always got something. And it's a fun show, too. I don't know if he's going to bring his man Gria again. I don't know if he's still doing that stuff. But, man, oh, man, that stuff will get you going big time.
Man,
plastered
that was
on
impressive.
Have you ever had that?
No.
Oof.
Good stuff.
It's good, but it gets you. You don't realize what you're doing. It's a man's drink. It is man
people
Gria
only
for
get,
sure.
And people get the bottle of Mangria at their table and two to go.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
brilliant
I still got
commerce.
One. Yeah, it's pretty great. Adam Carolla, this weekend at the Improv, if you'd like to brave it, I like that. If you do the time or the time does you, that's a good thing to walk away from right there, especially with all this stuff we're doing right now where I think everybody feels like they're wasting time, like time is passing them by. Somebody said that to me the other day. It says, you got all this stuff going on, COVID and all these other things. If you don't take today and make tomorrow better, all you're doing is letting your yesterday beat you up. And it's like, what if you died? And people always say that. What if you died? And like, you knew you're going to die on Friday. And you look back and you said, what did I just do with the last 6 months other than try to protect the next 6 months? Because of, and it's like, use today. That's a great line. I love that a lot. The do the time or the time does you. And that's true of everything. I like that. I'm hanging on to that one. Adam Carolla, everybody. It's 98 KUPD.
Big, red, and bad.
It's the natural way radio should be.
You want to get away, far away, to a place people aren't. You know what'll get you there? A Jeep. That's right, an off-road machine with a big lift and big tires. A rolling definition of go big or go home. And at Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can save big on every new Jeep during the Jeep Adventure Days. Happening now. Visit us at the Scottsdale Auto Show off the 101 and Indian School Road or do it all online at ChapmanDodge.com. Chapman Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get more.